God speaks today. It's a time when Jesus had the last opportunity to speak to the disciples. And I don't know, if I have, you know, the last opportunity to speak to someone, it would take me a long time to decide what I was going to say. What's the most important thing that I need to get across to this person? How can I tell them that I love them? What do I need to tell them? And on this occasion, it's in John 16, if you want to follow, switch your Bible on or turn to it. John 16, I'm just going to share three verses. And I want you to let the Holy Spirit breathe life into these words. These aren't words that Jesus is speaking to the disciples. The Holy Spirit made sure that these words are in the Bible. And the Holy Spirit breathes life into these words. And if your heart is receptive, if you're thirsty, God will speak with great power through these words. It's verse 12 in John 16. Jesus said to the disciples, "I still have many things to say to you." Isn't that an intriguing line? And Jesus says that to me, and he says that to you. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. And I want you to know that that's a principal feature of who the Holy Spirit is. That's why God has given him to us. The Holy Spirit is a person. He wants to share day-to-day life with you. He wants to speak words of truth. He wants to guide you into all truth. And it says why? "For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak." Isn't it amazing to think that Jesus is sat up in heavenly places, whispering things to the Holy Spirit to tell you about what's going on in your life, about some of the problems that you're having? He's sharing some of your successes. He's encouraging you to grow in the faith. He's encouraging you to be a person that is never static and standing still. "But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you." Now, that was the last opportunity that Jesus had to say anything to the disciples of anything of significance and weight. And he was telling them what the Holy Spirit was going to do in their lives. And he tells us now, as I stand here in front of you speaking, the message from God is that he does this now. He guides you. He has things to tell you. Now, the disciples probably thought of that occasion as nothing more than another Passover meal. But Jesus just keeps out pouring out spiritual riches. But that tells us something that we've got to be aware of. We've got to bear in mind. That passage tells us. It says, "I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now." In other words, there's a process of God revealing his will for your life to you. There's a process of him revealing what he has for you, the glorious nature of the future that he's prepared for you. And so the truth is that God will not reveal more truth to you than you are capable of receiving. God will not reveal more truth to you than you are capable of receiving. So let's just pray. Let's pray right now. Father, I pray that you would cause faith to rise up among us right now. I pray, Lord, in this place that faith would rise in our hearts to believe that you have more for us than what we experience now. To come against the things that are stopping that happening. Whether it's our fault or just the fault of our environment, whatever it is, Lord, we pray that you would break through in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you would speak as we press into a new encounter of you. I pray, God, that you would speak powerfully. Forgive us when we followed a program or a religion. We just want you, Jesus. You're a person and you love us. And we love you, Jesus, for what you've done. Father, I pray that you speak to us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. There's all kinds of things that limit our experience of God, our encounters with what he's got for us. Our minds limit us. Our spiritual maturity limits us. Our circumstances limit us. Our friends sometimes limit us. Our failures limit us. The words that we speak, they can limit us from receiving all that God has for us. That's painful, isn't it? To think of the potential that God has for us. I find it just painful, but it's the truth. You know, if you have a shallow walk with God, you can't expect him to reveal deep truths to you. It's just, that's the way it works. But I want to tell you the converse of that is if you are thirsty, if that's the only thing you focus on in your walk with him, if that is your priority, if that's the thing that gets you up in the morning, if that's the thing that you're going to put every effort into, if you're going to be obedient to God, if you're going to decide to be as holy as he's asking you to be, if you're going to decide to take the decisions that he's asking you to take, even when he asks you to do something that you just don't figure out how you can do. How many times has God asked you to go and forgive somebody and reconcile with them? You haven't been able to do that. That's one of my battlefields. I don't know what your battlefields are, but more and more we have to be going deeper into what Jesus wants. And we will hear from God. He promises that he will speak. God speaks. He wants our relationship to grow. He wants our relationship to grow far more than we do. And we say, I mean, I don't know if you're like me, but I do my best praying when I'm desperate. You really mean it, don't you, when you're at your wit's end and you've got nothing else to turn, nowhere else to turn. I'm sure you've all prayed. I'm making the confession, but don't all act holy. Because we've all been in that place. We've all had that situation. And that desperation is what we've got to work in our lives. We've got to hold on to those things. And I urgently encourage you this morning, if you feel shallow, if you feel left out, if you feel disheartened, if you feel empty, I really urge you this morning to just get thirsty. Just keep on, keep on, keep on, keep on seeking after God. And so many times he promises that he's going to reveal more of his plans to us, more of his plans for the church, more of his plans for your marriage, more of his plans for your job, more of his plans for your future. That verse in Jeremiah that says where he tells Jeremiah, I know the plans I have for you. That's a promise that he gives to us. But just after that, I want to go back over that. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. That's an amazing promise. It's a guarantee. It's a guarantee that if we seek God with all our heart, we're going to find him and he's going to speak to us. So God has a word for you in your messed up marriage right now. He has a word for you in your lousy job right now. He has a word for you in your current situation where you're feeling stress and pressure. He's got a word for you in how you can overcome your addiction. He's got a word for you in how you can cope with the loneliness that you feel at the moment. He's got a word for you to tell you that he will help you resist the temptations that you're facing right now. Because we just have to learn how to unlimit a God who is limitless. A God who can do anything. If he has the power to speak the universe into being, he can change anything in your life. With no effort whatsoever. doesn't even need effort. God can just speak, and his word is so powerful that it will cut through everything that's gone before it. That it will transform the situation you're in as if it had never happened. And the plans that the enemy has for your life will be demolished in one word. One word. And during Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the fact that we have this power in us. We don't act like it all the time. It doesn't. We don't feel like it. But we've got to declare it because the word of God says it's true. And we've got to start soaking that into our spirits. So more and more we come to believe it as the truth, as God replaces the lies and the brainwashing that you faced all your life, that God is real and God is active and God is interested and God loves you and God wants to know you and he wants a relationship with you and he isn't against you and he knows your fears and he knows your anxieties and he knows your loneliness and he knows your struggles. And all of that is put to one side because of his great love for you, which overshadows everything. And his desire to turn your life around. So right now, we can do some business with God this morning. I hope you already have. I hope you've just soaked in this wonderful atmosphere. Again and again, as new people come into this place, I hear them tell me there's almost a tangible presence of God as you walk in. That God is so powerful. Now that isn't conjured or manufactured or orchestrated. You can't do that. You can make someone feel nice. You know, you can arrange certain things, but you can't orchestrate the presence of God. Nobody can tell him where to go or what to do. God decides where he's going to go and what he's going to do. And that he's telling us by his very presence in this place, when we gather every Sunday, he's telling us that he wants to be here, that he wants to talk to us, that he wants to be involved in transforming our lives. And we just get used to it. But what we've got to do is we've got to obey the words that we've already been given. Right now, you might be thinking about what your problem is. You might be thinking about what your past failures have been. Why is it that God hasn't spoken to you? None of that matters. It really doesn't. And I'm not making that out to be a small thing, the pain and suffering that people go through. But what matters is when God speaks. And it's not that he's waiting and waiting and waiting. He's ready right now. He just needs you to be thirsty. He just needs you to be open to what he's got to say. Just allow his presence. Just enjoy it. Isn't it peaceful? Isn't it wonderful? We obey the word that he's already given us. So stop thinking about your past failures. Stop thinking about your doubt. You know, doubt is at least as powerful as faith. It's the opposite. And Satan loves to put doubt in your mind about God. That's how he's always operated. That's what he did in the garden, first of all, with Eve. Did God really say that? Putting doubt on what God says. Again, see, the word of God. He speaks. Satan put words of doubt, put thoughts of doubt in your mind because he doesn't want you to have faith, which is the thing that pleases God and enables God to start speaking to you. And God says you will never get words of meat until you've properly digested and obeyed the words of milk. So we've got to be, I think I said last week, you've got to be stubborn. That's a funny spiritual gift, isn't it? But you've got to persevere. You've got to push through. You've got to take your eyes off what everyone else is doing because they'll let you down and they'll disappoint you and they won't measure up. You've got to take your eyes off all that and you've got to say to yourself, and I'm preaching on this next week, it's Father's Day next week. Men especially, it's a message for men especially, but it's for all of us. As for me and my house, we will praise the Lord. Forget what everyone else is doing around you. Forget whether they're putting in the right effort. Forget whether they're facing Jesus. Forget what they're speaking over you. You determine to honor one another. You determine not to moan about one another. You determine to speak each other up and encourage one another, to big each other up. You determine to pray for one another when there's an issue. And guess what God will do? He'll change you. He'll change you. So many times I've sat there praying about other people, and God's just come along. And he changes me. Because I want change. I want God's presence in my life. I want his power, and I want to hear what he's got to say to me. And it's daily obedience. It's a daily determination to be obedient to what he is saying. I mean, you imagine if you're saying something to somebody, can you do this, this, and this, and nothing happens. Can you do this, this, and at some point you're going to think, okay, I'll just wait for when you're listening. You can't just keep saying the same things. I'm sure God feels like that. He speaks to us. We've got to hear what he's got to say. He's got so many wonderful things, and they just keep getting better. We, in our own minds, can't conceive of the future that God has for us because we're limited by our imaginations. And even as great as our imaginations are, as great as some of the stories that we can come up with, that is nothing compared with what God has in store for us. If we keep pushing through, if we keep being obedient, if we keep pressing in to what Jesus has. Now, there's bound to be regrets. I speak to people all the time. I've got my own regrets. But that, I don't even know if it was a Greek proverb, but that's what I say when I'm preaching. But it's really powerfully affected me over the last few months. When and it goes something like this, the best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. But the second best time to plant a tree is now, is today, is right in this moment. And you get a chance now. We're going to continue to worship. I'm going to start praying. I want you to pray for each other. I want a spirit of praise to break out in this room again. I want a spirit of prayer to break out in this room again. As God starts ministering through the words that you speak, start praying for one another. I want God to move, and I want God to speak. And if you give him room, he will speak. It's a guaranteed promise. And the question that Jesus has posed to me more often, it's a challenge. I just want you to think about it. If you ignored the last three things that God said to you, why would he give you something new? It's a challenge, isn't it? But he's still speaking those things, and they're good things. I'm not going to say they're easy things, because you know full well that they're not always easy, but they are good. And they will cause you to grow, and they will cause you to be healthier and more wholesome. They will restore things that the enemy has damaged in your life. Because that's what he's doing. He's slowly chipping away on all the rubbish and all the filth that the enemy's put in. All the stuff you've done, all the stuff that's been done to you. And he's changing that. He is polishing you. He is molding you into a new person. And one day you will look like Jesus. But that doesn't mean you've got to wait until that day. You've got to be involved in the process. He wants you to be involved in the process. He wants to polish you. He wants to celebrate those wonderful occasions when his will is done. When forgiveness just flows out. When there's restoration in your body, in your mind, in your relationships, in your finances, in your job. All the things where the enemy tries to poke and tries to destroy, to steal from you. And Jesus says, I've come that you might have life and have it in all its fullness. That's his plan. And it just gets better. You don't get the deeper riches to start off with. You get the little ones. But as you go, things get faster, things get better. God has taken me to places I never thought I'd be in my life. I should be dead or in prison, but I'm not. I'm standing here privileged to preach the word of God to a church that he's given me to shepherd. It's an unbelievable privilege, but he can do much more than that. That's limited by what my imagination is and what my expectations of God are. But he could do even much more than that. Jesus never condemned his disciples for a lack of maturity. He never spoke a word of condemnation over people that were seeking God. Yes, he had harsh words to tell people. Yes, he had harsh words to say to people that weren't interested. But the people that were seeking God, if you're seeking God, if you sat here and you're seeking God, God is interested in your future and he has a plan for you and a purpose for you. He's not going to condemn you. He is not going to condemn you. He is not going to condemn you for your lack of maturity or the mistakes that you've made or your lack of interest. He's not going to condemn you for that. He's going to say, welcome back. Are we back on board together again? Let's pick up where we left off. You can have as much of God as you want. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it great? That you can have as much of God as you want. As you press into him, he will always respond. Because we've got a long way to go until we look like Jesus. So he's got plenty to work on and he's got plenty to do. But let's just pray as we worship now when we have a time of ministry. It's an opportunity to pray for one another. It's an opportunity to allow God's presence to touch you. Please don't leave without responding to him. You can come forward to pray. We're going to pray for each other. If you know someone you already have a good relationship with who can pray into your life, approach them. If you see someone needing prayer, go and pray with them. Don't stay in your seats. Do something. You can be prayed for and you can pray. Now, we're going to minister to one another. After we've spent a few minutes doing that, we're going to see what happens. But what we're interested in is God's presence. Press into him again.